I want to thank you for the last number of weeks as we've been going through these lessons on personal evangelism. And up to the last Sunday, we were dealing with lessons that we would share with non-Christians. I wanted everybody to be aware of those things which we need to share with those who are not yet children of God. And my wife has been busy editing some material for me. And hopefully before long, maybe this week or so, we will be able to put those into booklet form. And hopefully you will have your own copy of these lessons in a printed form that you can share with your friends and neighbors. So tonight, let's get very practical. I want to begin the lesson in the book of Luke, chapter number 15. And in this place, Luke chapter 15, we have a trio of parables that the Lord gave. And there's so many lessons here for us to glean, but I want to say before we even get into this chapter that I'm aware of the fact that generally speaking, when the Lord gave a parable, He didn't intend for every little minute detail to be a separate point. Generally speaking, when we handle parables, they have to do with a very stressing of a certain particular truth that the Lord was wanting to give. So I'm aware of that. But I'm going to utilize these three parables tonight to talk about reaching the lost from three different vantage points. And so I hope that you will allow that. So let's begin by reading the first couple of verses of this chapter. Okay, and I hope that your Bible is open to that place so you can check the preacher. Luke chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Now all the publicans and sinners were drawing near unto him and heard him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And you know from these men their reputation that you've known of before. These men were speaking against Jesus, murmuring about Jesus because while he's fraternizing with those sinful, wicked people. Now, does he not know any better, as it were? Does he not know that he shouldn't be associating with those that are such lowly sinners? And so the main point of all three of these parables, the main point is the Lord is showing, I came for sinners. That is my purpose. And God is wanting to see sinners to be drawn back to Him once again. And interestingly, in the third of these parables, there is the oft overlooked older son. And the older son in the third parable would represent those men who said, why is he eating with these sinners? And so he is depicting there with that older son the very attitude problem of the ones who were murmuring against him. So let's notice in an overview, if we might, as we look at these three. First of all, in verse number 4, we can underline where it says, 100 sheep. And so we know that in this first parable we have 100 sheep, but one of them is lost. When we go to verse number 8, we can underline 10 pieces of silver. Now we see the Lord is telling another parable for the same basic truth, but in this case, there's 10 pieces of silver and one of them is lost. And then finally, in verse number 11, a certain man had, and we underline, 2 sons. So we have 100 sheep, we have 10 pieces of silver, and we have 2 sons in verse number 11. And one of them is going to leave the father and be off in the far country. And I'm going to assume tonight, is that okay with you? Do your head up or down or side to side. Is it okay with you that we don't go into great detail because you're familiar with these three parables? So what I would rather do is rather than just simply looking at those, I want to make an application and look at them from this vantage point. I want you to see, first of all, that with the sheep that was lost, a sheep wanders away, he's lost, and the sheep can tell after he raises his shaggy head, where are the other sheep? So as it were, we might say that this sheep knows ultimately I'm lost, but he doesn't know how to get back again. And I want to talk about people who sometimes realize that they're lost, but they don't know how to get back to God. Secondly, I want to suggest to you for our purposes tonight that a coin is inanimate. That's a new thought for you, isn't it? No. And it's not a person, it's just a coin. So we will let that represent for our purposes tonight. A coin is lost, it doesn't know it's lost, and it doesn't know the way back to be found. And there's a lot of people in our world who they don't know they're lost. And therefore they certainly don't know the way back to God. And number three, we have these two sons. And I want to talk about people who, well, they know they're away from God, and they know they're lost, and they know the way back. And the oldest son is like some of us who we think, well, I'm a faithful child of God, I'm worshiping and so forth, but maybe we're like that older son and we're with God, we're trying to worship God and so forth, but maybe we have a bad attitude. Is that possible? Yes, it is. So for tonight, let's think very practically about evangelism. And by the way, before we jump into that, let me just stress one other thing. In verse number 7, when that one sheep was found, what happened? There was great rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And the point I want to make there from verse number 7 is, all the effort you put forth to talk to someone who is lost, all the effort is worth it. Because if that person chooses to turn back to God, there's a heavenly rejoicing party taking place. Am I right? Now look what we find in verse number 10. Even so I say, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. All the effort of you talking to people, co-workers, friends, neighbors, and a lot of them will not listen. A lot of them don't want to hear about your religious things. They're not interested, but don't give up. You keep talking to people, keep talking about Christ, how excited you are to be a Christian, and ultimately you're going to find a person who will listen, who's a good and honest heart, and they can turn to God, and there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And I don't need to tell you, but I will anyway, that when the boy came home, they killed the fatted calf. They had a feast, and he was received back with joy to a happy father. And the Bible tells us that the father said, this is my son that was dead and is alive again. That's reason for rejoicing, isn't it? So we're talking about reaching people with the gospel. So let's go back to verse number 3, verses 3 through 7. We have the parable of 100 sheep. Have 100 sheep, one of them is lost. And I submit to you that some people are like this. There are people who are adrift in this world. They know that they're aimless. They feel like there's no purpose in life. They don't really maybe know what the purpose of life is. And they feel lost, but they just don't know where to turn. And people are trying things. Do you remember some weeks ago we had a lesson from the book of Ecclesiastes? And we see the wise man Solomon, as we read through the book of Ecclesiastes, he's trying wealth, right? And he's trying entertainment. He's got men singers and women singers. And people are trying entertainment. They're trying wealth. They're trying building projects. Hey, you could go on YouTube and figure out how to build a geodesic dome. All right, let's try it. And they're trying all kinds of crazy things. And they're still unsatisfied. There are people who are adrift in this world. They're lost and they seem to realize there's lostness in them, but they don't know the way home. And so how do you reach those people? First of all, I want to suggest to you that when we talk to people, we need to be good listeners. And as we talk to people and we hear what they're going through, if you hear someone talking as if they're just aimless, they're searching, there's not happiness in their life, they don't know what's missing, then you can capitalize. And you can say, if you think you're missing something in your life, you're right. And I believe that the Bible has the answer. So let me share with you the good news about the Bible. God has a plan of salvation. We need to be listening to people and be aware of where they're coming from. Be recognizing where the person is. I need to know where they are before I can bring them to where they ought to be. And there's many people who are groping and they are searching. So I call your attention to the book of Matthew chapter number 7, a promise the Lord made. And it's Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. And you know it already. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Then he goes on to say, "For whoever is truly asking, who is seeking, who is knocking, he says, they shall find." And I want to encourage you, friends and brothers and sisters, that it is so important for us to lock in on this promise. Remember, God can't lie. See, I could become discouraged and think, you know, most people won't listen. Jesus said there's a broad way and a narrow way, right? So I already know most people won't listen. Most people will not obey. And that could become discouraging, because then that's in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, right? Broad way, narrow way, few. So that might be a discouragement to my evangelistic efforts and talking to other people. But I'm encouraged when the Lord said, if there's someone who is seeking, guess what? They can find. Now here's the exciting part. You might be the only person that is the tool available to help them, right? Because your coworker is not my coworker, and your neighbor is not my neighbor, right? And such as that. And so the people that you have contact with, you say, well, how are we going to have evangelism? We're going to have some special program. I have a secret for you. There's no secret. I don't have a secret plan of evangelism that I'm going to share with Wasilla and everything's going to be rosy. The reality is, if evangelism is going to happen by this congregation, every one of us, let me just repeat something. Every one of us has to be engaging, talking, influencing people for the gospel. That sounds oversimple, but that's the way it is. I read it in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 4. They that were scattered went about preaching the word. Christians sharing the message. So how do we do that? First of all, as we talk to other people, we're listening for where they are. And a lot of people are groping. They're hunting. They're not happy in their lives. And they oftentimes, they don't know what's missing. They're like a sheep that is lost, but it doesn't know the way back. And we need to help them see that the gospel is the answer for the emptiness. Amen. The gospel is the answer. And so we can just talk to them, say, have you ever felt like you're just kind of living a life that seems aimless? God can give us purpose in life. And so that's one thing that I want to share with you that we can think about as we share the gospel. I want to move to the next one, please. And that is in verses 8 through 10. We have this parable of the 10 pieces of silver. And in our way of using this, what I want us to realize is a coin is lost, but a coin doesn't know it's lost. A coin has no feeling. So simply what I want to suggest is there are some people we're talking to, and they're lost, but they don't know they're lost, and therefore they certainly don't know the way back to God. I would have to say with great sadness that most people in this world are right here in this category. Most of our friends and neighbors are in this. And some of them are non-religious, some of them are irreligious, and some of them are agnostic. But whether they're religious or not, most of our friends are lost and they don't know they're lost. How does that happen? First of all, a number of people have this concept. They've not found it in here, in the Bible, have they? But so many people have this common misconception, and here's how it goes. I'm a nice person. They're just nice people. You know, they don't murder their neighbors, you know. They don't even drive over their neighbor's lawn. They don't even let their dog, whatever, on their neighbor's lawn. They're just, the idea is, if you're a nice person, you get to go to heaven. And a lot of people haven't thought it through, but they've just kind of assumed if you're a nice person, you get to go to heaven. And they do not realize that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. In absolute terms, there is none righteous, no, not one. And this idea that just be a good person and everything, surely it'll be okay with God, overlooks the massive problem that sin is an offense against God. And when we sin, just like Adam and Eve, we are separated from God, and God is absolutely pure. And God cannot have close fellowship with evil. So as much as we would like for it to be true that just being a nice person, you can be in heaven, nice people still sin. And God can't have sin in heaven with him. And that's why he had to send the Savior. Now, that's a big group of people. People that think if you're nice, just a good person, you can go to heaven. And that's false. But there's a second group, and that is people thinking they're religious, and that their religion is something that they've investigated, and they're sure that they're saved. I cannot count the number of people I have met in my lifetime already. And the person has said, I believe in Jesus, and I know in my heart that I'm saved. There are so many religious people that feel like that they are saved when they are not. And it's a sad, sad reality. So we go to the book of Matthew once again, and we listen to these words of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? It seems, as we pause there at that verse number 22, it seems that they're proud of what they've been doing. In their lifetime, they were doing things and doing it in the name of Jesus. In verse 23, and then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The Lord is not going to say, thank you for doing things in my name. No, they weren't not following his will. Verse 21 was contrasting those that were saying but not actually doing the will of the Father. And how many thousands upon thousands of people are religious and thinking they're saved and they're still outside of Christ? And so our challenge as we turn to the book of Luke and we think about people who are lost and they don't know they're lost, here is one of the greatest challenges. Now let's talk practically about that challenge. First of all, if someone is lost and you're trying to share the gospel with them, hey, could you come over? We'd love to have a Bible study with you. And they say, oh, I'm really busy. You're thinking you're lost. You're drawing breath. You're sucking air, but that might not continue, and you've got a pressing need. That's what I'm thinking, right? This person has a pressing need. But if they don't think they're lost, you offered a Bible class, and they, oh, I might be interested sometime, but I'm just real busy. See, our struggle is we know it's a pressing need, but if they don't think they're lost, they don't see it as a pressing need. Now that's the challenge. And if you have a way to deal with that in an effective way, can you help me? Because see, there's no easy way. Because if you think about it, on the one hand, I could say, well, I know you think you're saved, but you're really lost, so this is urgent, you need to study with me. Now, how's that going to go over with the person that thinks they're already saved? Think that's going to go over very well? You're actually lost, so let me teach you. That's not going to go over very well. But on the other extreme, if I say, well, I've just got to be patient, they don't realize it. If I'm too patient, and as we say sometimes, I'm so tactful that there's no point at the end of the tack. They never get the point. That's not helpful either, right? Somewhere in the middle, friends. And it's a lot of our judgment, isn't it? How do you talk to someone? And so what I want to suggest is, in that situation, can we try to talk to him and say, you know what? I found out something really interesting here. And maybe share a verse with them that will get them thinking. The challenge for us is to try to get them to have a little something to give them some thought, to give them something to think about. One thing that we might suggest is, you know, we live in this world, there's all these different religious groups, and maybe this person is of a certain denomination. You say, well, what about all these denominations? I mean, I'm a Bible believer, I follow the Bible, but there's all these different groups. Do you think if I just am any of them's okay? I might ask a question rather than just trying to force them. I might say, what do you think God thinks about all the different religions? Is it okay to just join the church of your choice? Does that sound logical? Because I read in my Bible about Jesus building his church. What I'm suggesting, that might be something to get them to think, right? Well, maybe that's something I need to think about. And maybe you can do better. Thinking about how to develop some interest within people. And so that's an important challenge for us. But also, as people are lost and they don't know that they're lost, we have to pray for them. Now, let's consider in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. Cornelius was a man who was searching for God, wasn't he? He was a prayerful man. He gave alms to the people. And the Bible tells us that God could see that heart. That person was actually a seeking individual, wasn't he? So as we think about Cornelius as an example of someone who, well, he's religious and so forth, and many of our friends and relatives, they're religious and maybe they're devoted to God in some ways. But Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he's devoted and he's prayerful and he worships God and he's lost. And there's a lot of religious people who are devoted and Bible readers and prayers. So I believe you and I need to ask God in prayer. And your neighbor might, or your uncle might be Joe or Tom, whatever the name is. And you might ask God in prayer, I'm praying for this uncle of mine. Because this uncle of mine, he believes he's in true religion. He believes he's safe. And God, you know he's not in your body. Please help me. Help me know how to say something, to do something. Because see, sometimes we just say, I'm just on our own. God, ask God to help us. There's been times I'm trying to teach someone, Joy and I are talking about it and we're mulling it over, but we got to pray, ask God. I ask God, help me with this certain person because they're a hard one. What do we do with these people? And we don't have all the answers, do we? About what's exactly right. But I take you to the book of Romans chapter 1, a verse that you know so well. But we need to focus on what's on our favor, not what's against us. And so when we have prayer, we go to God in prayer and say, help me work with this neighbor or this coworker. I want to see them saved. Help me to know what to say, how to help them. And look at this, if you will, in Romans chapter 1:16, Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to realize that the power is in the gospel. Yes, I'm going to try my utmost to say something in a good way and think about how I'm going to approach it. But I'm going to get around to saying the Bible says. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we want to beat around the bush and just kind of do some different thing. I'm going to pray to God, please help me to know what to say. But I'm going to share something about the Word with them. Because I know it's not my words that's going to strike at them. I'm not going to say something just so wonderful and clever that I'm going to get their attention. I'm not even that deluded. But I know if I can say something about the Bible, it is God's power to save. We need to unleash the power of the Word of God. Just sharing with them, you know, well, the Bible says, and then just give them a little something of the Bible. And I don't want to give them something that they will choke on. When we have a little child, like Palmer, for example, we, as much as I like a good steak, we're not going to give Palmer a big chunk of steak right now. We'll wait, right? Well, if I have a neighbor who's not a Christian, I can't give them something that they can't handle right now. I'm going to look for something in the Word of God that might get them thinking, that will challenge them. It's not right for me to say, you don't know it, you're going to hell, you're going to be lost, and I can show you in the Bible how you're wrong. That's just destructive. And someone walks away and says, well, at least I told them the truth. I warned them. I've delivered my soul. That's not love. And that's not evangelism. That's just ignorance to treat other people like that. It's not the golden rule, is it? Is it true that they're lost? Yes. But just telling them they're lost doesn't help. So we go back to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. And so when we talk to others, we're thinking about where they are. Some of them are lost, they don't know they're lost, and that's a challenge. So we're going to try to share something with them. Other people, like we said at the first one, they're lost, they're aimless. They don't even know sometimes what's missing. And you could say, you know what, I'm so happy to be a Christian. I want to share with you what's happened to me and the blessings that I enjoy. I think you would be interested in that. And number three, we have someone who is, well, like the young son. There are people who are lost. They know they're lost. And they know the way home. And here's what I want you to think about. This young son, it takes him to go all the way to verse 16. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Listen to me carefully to not misconstrue what I say. But it took this young man all the way where pig food looked good before he came to his senses. Is that true? He had to get really, really low. And I'm unashamed to tell you that there are some of my brothers and sisters that I've prayed to God, please allow something to happen in their life, even if it's a tragedy, if it will bring them to their spiritual senses. You see, friends, this young man had to be so low before verse 17 he came to himself. I don't want them to die lost. So whatever the tragedy is, whatever happens in their lives, circumstances, something happened, God, please allow something to happen in their life, something that I say or you say, something happens to them. Please, God, help there be something that will wake them up, that they might see their condition and turn back to you. Now, God has not left us without some way to do that. And as much as our human mind doesn't fully understand it, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and God says there's a way that can work to bring them back. And in 1 Corinthians 5, a child of God was living in a life of sin, likely with his stepmother. Not sure of that, but I know he was having relations with his mother, with his father's wife. And the Bible tells Christians what to do. You want to try to bring that person back to the church? You want to try to bring them back to faithfulness? The whole congregation, not just one person, not just the preacher or the elders, every single member of the congregation needs to withdraw from them so there's no fellowship, so that they will be ashamed and be brought back to the church. Now, that's after we go talk to them, encourage them. There needs to be a period of giving them opportunity, talking with them, reaching out to them, sending cards, visiting. But if all of those efforts fail, well, here's how we usually fail. We stop right there. We say we missed you. We have cards. We say, come and be back with us. And usually we stop right there, and God has another step. And we better not leave it out, because it's God's final attempt to wake someone up, to bring them back to Christ. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. There's a preacher down under. His daughter... Or excuse me, not down under, I'm thinking of in California, sorry. There's a preacher I know some years back. His own daughter turned away from the church. They withdrew fellowship from her because she refused. After pleadings, talking with her, you need to get your life back with God. The whole congregation withdrew, including her parents, which was right, biblical. And she was restored. Isn't that wonderful? But someone says, well, if you do that, the person might not be restored. If God's way won't work and they're not restored, discipline has another function or reason, and that's to keep the body pure. And so the church discipline always works if it's done right. Now, maybe not working for that one individual, but it can work. But it's something that's woefully missing in so many places. Do we care about people's souls? So I want to look at this party before we conclude our lesson today. I want to look at Luke chapter 15. Think about this. You could be an instrument. You could be a tool to bring someone to their senses, to bring them back to the Father. And listen to this as we read Luke 15, verse number 20. And he arose and came to his father. Remember, he's already got a speech ready, doesn't he? I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. I'll just be like one of the hired staff. He's got a speech already ready, doesn't he, to give to the father? He arose, verse 20, went to his father, but while he was afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Some years ago, I was doing a gospel meeting down in an area of California, down on the coast there. And I'm just a visiting preacher, and so I gave a lesson that day, that evening. And we had a pretty good crowd, and a man came forward, and I stepped out and we talked, and he wanted to be restored. And I was happy about that. But I'll never forget, because everyone in the audience was crying. I'm thinking, what happened? They were so happy because this was a man who had been out of duty for a long, long time. And they wanted so much for him to turn back to God. And when he came forward, I didn't know the story. I didn't know who he was. And they all knew he was. And they had been longing for the time for that man to come back and make it right. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. You see, we need to be evangelistic. What does that mean? Really, evangelism comes from our heart first of knowing people are lost. And then I'll find the courage to say something, to share some words of hope with them, saying, I really want you to learn about what I know. I want you to learn about becoming a child of God according to the Bible. I'd ask you to pray with me. Dear God in heaven, we are so weak and small. And Father, we can't even read hearts. We look at people, we see them lost. We see people groping, looking for something and not finding it. Heavenly Father, we take comfort in knowing that you know all hearts. You know what people are thinking. You know their discouragements and their difficulties. Heavenly Father, we're asking you to help us to be your tools to reach those good and honest hearts that are around us and we don't know which ones they are. We pray that you will lead us to them and that we'll have the courage to talk to them about the Bible, about the true church, about the joy of being a Christian. Father, help us to find that courage and begin to talk more to others about Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If we can help you in any way, a song has been announced that we want to share singing together and encourage you. If you have a need, will you come as we stand and sing?